Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
This is our, what month is it again? September. How does time work? I don't know. This is our September the 13th, a.k.a. Friday the 13th reviews issue.
Ooh, spooky.
This week we will be talking about Riddler One-Shot, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, number 1 of 6, but first we'll start off with Doomsday Clock number 11.
Yes, 11 for Doomsday Clock. We're almost at the end. Almost. So this is written by Jeff Johns with art by Gary Frank. And yeah, this is Doomsday Clock.
I would like to point out, and Gary Frank said that the next issue is slated for November, and I'm like, you know, I would like to hold you to that.
I think if it releases in November, that literally means it was a full 2 years for the 12 issues.
God. See, well, now I need to read this in trade form, because I read this, and I'm like, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, this was definitely, I think the biggest hindrance of this issue is Issue 10 was a masterpiece that had very little to do with the previous issue.
Yep.
So this has a lot more ties back to issue number 9.
Yep, because the last issue of that was Wonder... I remember that because Wonder Woman finally came out. And I was like, yeah!
Yeah, exactly. And Wonder Woman is featured heavily in this, or featured in a few sequences. It's just really amazing to read this book. I don't know... We're at a point right now where the storytelling is beginning to unravel yet come together. So,
I'm lost halfway through this.
We were talking a little bit before recording. The idea of the photographs being kind of an echo left behind by Dr. Manhattan, and then seeing the photographs means that Manhattan has been having problems piecing things together because he's made several stops. And these are only the ones that Luther has found, which means there could be several more.
Well, he made the stops throughout history, and he said 1938. And that was when the Superman one.
Right.
You know, the multiple stops that he made saying,
but
oh,
that was like
way.
Four. We see at least 30 in this.
Yeah, because he keeps... Well, I do remember him saying that he's popping back in through time trying to figure out why things are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if... I haven't checked all the dates, but I'm pretty sure each picture that they mention is one of the relaunches of the DC Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, 1938, obviously, yeah, is the beginning, and then each subsequent one.
Right.
yeah, I was, what were you saying, too, speaking of time, Nat? You had an interesting theory about the release schedule as well.
I honestly wonder if this book is not, I wouldn't say falsely being released off schedule, but being released to mimic the schedule problems of the original Watchmen series, which was notoriously took, I think, 2 years for the 12 issues to release. And once again, that was Doomsday Clock. There's a lot of things I'm not even picking up on. You had mentioned something about the Black Freighter tie-in.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of it, and for those of you who haven't read the book and have only seen the movie, or neither, well, you should have at least seen one, but there's a
so
sub-story of this guy reading a comic book inside of the original Watchmen called the Black Freighter. And it has, like, thematic ties in the book. It's, like, totally plot-wise unrelated. But this, we have, like, this black-and-white noir cop show, kind of, that keeps being brought up for whatever reason. Until this issue, I was kind of confused. And then I saw somebody breaking into the electronics store and stealing the TV. And I, for some reason, thought to myself, well, what other noir detectives do we know that may or may not have TV shows or entertainment media that is created by somebody else and put into an easily wrapped up with a bow on top storyline? Something like, oh, I don't know, The Dark Knight, or maybe Rorschach, or anybody. Choose your pick your poison.
Yeah,
but yeah, that idea of
like the metatextual,
yeah, thing, existing inside of an entertainment thing, which is it's mind-boggling. Nothing in this comic book, visually or like words-wise, is is not for nothing.
Yeah, like Jeff Johns sits down and he's like, I'm going to take you for a journey. And I'm like, okay.
I think that, yeah, there's so much, well, everything feels deliberate, which also makes it kind of difficult to read because you can't passively read the book, or if you do, you're going to enjoy it, but there's so much to analyze in each particular story that, yeah, it's really interesting.
Sorry, I didn't even see your cover earlier. I got the regular one with Batman.
I got both.
I think I've gotten every variant cover in this series.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the variants are more story-driven and less, like, about the theme, because the main covers are very, like, thematic in what they're approaching. Also, not for nothing, Gary Frank's Superman is still, like, the top tier, like... Of the way. I mean, he looks like Christopher Reeve.
He does. I love it. It makes me happy.
I mean, I don't love the red tights, but, you know.
I'll take it for this one, honestly. Because it seems like... Because I think they said the date of this one, too, and I want to say they said it was 1981.
It's really odd.
How about that, that sequence of, new Rorschach watching Mothman burn.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Just where it looks like the Rorschach test.
What about Saturn Girl literally fading from existence because of the changes that were made?
Oh,
God.
How does
her ring stay, though?
Because...
It's from reasons? A different... It's from a different universe, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that was... She straight up, like, Thanos dusted.
Yeah. That's exactly what she looks like.
Yeah, and, wow, yeah, because ostensibly Dr. Manhattan, right now at the end of this issue, is trying to recreate the universe again.
Maybe? Well, he definitely can't see beyond the encounter he's about to have.
Well, you see, what the hell's his name? You find out that Adrian has what's-his-name, too, and he's got the lantern. He's also in the prison.
Yeah, it looks like...
I can't think of his name.
Is it Johnny Thunder? I had a discussion with another customer about this, friend of the show, Keith, and he was thinking that that was actually Alan Scott, and that's why he had the lantern in there.
That's what, yeah, I was like, I can't think of his name. Why can't I think of his name?
So, I don't know. That's...
Well, there was a whole thing about how he pushed the lantern just out of reach of Alan Scott, but
right.
Apparently...
But that kills Alan Scott when he does that.
So yeah,
does it?
He dies in the car accident, or the train accident.
Yeah.
Does it?
So, well, here's the thing. In this timeline that we're in right now, maybe that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I was honestly hoping reading some New 52 might give me some insight into this. It does not. Absolutely none. Not even close.
Yeah. And once again, more shouts out to everybody, but the way that we're reading, like, the world falling apart is kind of amazing. Like, in one issue, where, like, usually people are just like, oh, the world is falling apart. And you're like, okay, as the reader, you just told me that, thank you very much. But, like, in this, like, it's very apparent that shit is hitting the fan, like, on every scale possible.
So, do you guys hear the rumors that they're talking about doing a black Batman next year? With, like, Bruce being the guy in the chair?
You know, I've vaguely heard of that.
What is new Rorschach after the events of this story?
So you're thinking this is going to turn into another universe and that'll be its own thing?
Not another universe. That the mainline continuity... That Batman will have to be somebody else because of the way that the public has responded to him, and he will choose to take the new Rorschach under his wing to be.
Oh my god!
As a way to reform him.
That was hilarious because I think you mentioned that to me like last week or something.
Maybe this week or when we were at the shop.
Sometime, but I think you mentioned that to me, and you were all being the Batman guy. Batman, keep Batman, but
yeah.
Stay that way, but. Now that you mention that.
That's a much more interesting idea than, like, because people were saying, like, Black Lightning could be the character, or, and they're not going with existing stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's Batwing, there's...
Yeah, there's Duke.
Sentinel, who's the... Who's like the day Batman?
Signal.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Sentinel.
So this could be something. Because I've been curious as to what's going to happen after Doomsday Clock, and if some of these people get stranded in our universe or in the mainline DC and can't get back, that would be...
Well, the other part of me doesn't know, because you have Justice League Universe, or Justice League Universe, oh my god, you have the Justice League title on its own doing things, so I don't know where shit's going to hit the fan.
Right.
I haven't figured it out which one is going to do what yet.
Yeah, I think that's coinciding these books together, that there's something going to happen that's cataclysmic that's going to be like, boop, and the new universe that's created, because there's definitely universe creation stuff happening in Justice League.
Like I said, I think, and notice how everything is them losing.
Yeah. And there's kind of hints in the Batman books that were... Maybe Batman is going to retire with Catwoman. At least for a time.
That would be interesting if he just switches over his role to be the man in the chair, and so he can have a more stable thing. Yeah.
And what a way to reform somebody who's too brutal from a different universe than have them actually have to wear the cowl.
So we're just going to Jason Todd this again?
It's not Jason Todd, because Jason Todd's a fucktard. I hate that character so much. The best thing Jason Todd ever did was die.
Oh my god. Well, that got dark.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I guess I'll try and brighten up that darkness.
And Doomsday Clock, 11.
Damn.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Kevin. Well, why don't you take us into something a little bit brighter?
I need a second.
Let's go to some green.
Hey.
Alrighty then. So we've got Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy number 1 by Jody Houser, and our art by, I'm sorry, my allergies are bad, and I probably will mess your name up, but Adriana Mello is what it was?
Yeah.
So, number 1, I think the creepiest thing that happened in this comic is when she fell apart.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I knew exactly where you were going when you just started with the creepiest thing.
Yeah, when she fell apart and then she drew it, I'm like, I'm terrified right now. This better get, like, her. Yeah.
The title page with just...
Yeah.
Like, pushing daisies.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing-esque Poison Ivy.
Just melting into the floor.
Yeah. That's great. That's still one of my favorite parts, is the little kid walking by. Mom, why is that lady naked and green and inside out?
That's really good.
And then doesn't Harley say something like, I'm going to turn you inside out?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, man.
My favorite part of this issue is the fact that, like, without losing any of her characterization, Harley Quinn is very endearing and caring in this. Like, she really cares for Poison Ivy and is trying her best to hide, like, how scared she is about what is exactly happening to her.
Yeah.
Well, she did something that she hasn't done before, so that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Which is?
She hasn't ever used the flower to reappear, has she, like that? Or made a body from...
Oh, you're talking about Poison Ivy?
Yeah, Poison Ivy. She has a swamp thing, right?
No, that was a result of her connection to the green, that she can do something like that. She's never had that level of power. I mean, because remember, she's only, like, she's basically a science experiment.
And that's what I thought, and that's why when she did that, right. I was so like, she can do that?
An accident. She can now.
Well, see, the thing is like, the... You know, spoiler alert, at the very end, the hell's his name walks in.
The Floronic Man.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Poison Ivy is supposed to be the one who's in charge of the green, not him.
He's not in charge of the green.
I think that's where this is going.
He's part of the Parliament of Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one who's in charge of the green, or who was in control of the green,
was the Swamp Thing.
Was Swamp Thing, but he's lost his connection. They pulled away from him.
I'm thinking that it's her now.
Mm-hmm. And that's why,
is that what passed between them?
Yeah, she was given the gift of being the...
Which explains why she was able to do what she could.
Yeah, and that's why she looked all inside-outy.
Yep, and I took that as she was still, like, being reborn, and I feel like over the course of this series we're going to see her gaining, like, past her previous power levels and back to...
Which is also slightly terrifying, because, I mean, she might be able to whoop, like, Batman ass.
I've said this multiple times, I always think she is one of the most underutilized villains or characters in general in DC. Just because, like, plant powers, man, that's so crazy.
It's because I don't think anybody has ever realized any of her powers. Because in the Batman animated series, she didn't necessarily have plant powers, but she grew some freaky-ass plants.
Well, that's the thing. It's over time she's developed the plant powers. Prior to that, she was a scientist who was in an accident and would be able to use her science to control plants to some degree, but not the way, like, I mean, now she's all bets are off.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the other part of it, is she hasn't necessarily always had those powers either.
Yeah, which is interesting, I don't know. I've always thought, because, like, plants are crazy. She could just grow, like, a tiny little spore and then, like in front of you, and it would explode, and it's like deadly neurotoxin.
Right? Or yeah, exactly.
You know, like, you didn't even need that much, like, plant power to really be, like, terrifying.
Right? To really fuck some shit up.
Yeah, I mean, imagine just waking up from her knocking you out, and then all of a sudden you have fucking vines, like, growing through you or something. It's not that.
Yeah. Her level, like, the level of torture that she could provide just by, like, something.
So, prime example terrifying. Of exactly what, like, how powerful she is. Like, he says, "And you, my dear Pamela Isley, are finally strong enough to be of use." Yeah. So she hasn't always been this strong at the point that it was made at the very end.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and I think, like I said, that we're going to witness her, like, rebirth, essentially, from the end of Heroes.
I'm curious to see if she'll be in charge of the Green now and what that'll do.
Well, it's whether or not she takes up the mantle. She is the representative of the Green on Earth, but whether or not she chooses to be the Defender, like, does she choose to be a heroic character like Swamp Thing? Or,
is he really that heroic, though?
I mean, he defends the Green. He's defending the populace. Remember, he attacks Superman at one point in time because Superman is vibrating out of frequency with the world. Because the Superman that we had was from a different universe.
Mm.
And that is something that is against the natural order, and that's what Swamp Thing is for.
I should have bought the other variant cover. I should have bought both, is really the answer to that.
Yeah.
So many ads everywhere for all of this, for those comics. I think every comic I read this week had an ad for Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
That's a good first issue.
The main thing, though, and I can't believe we haven't brought it up yet, is, are they dating?
I think it's pretty obvious that they're a couple.
Because Harley refers to her as babe.
The way that it's explained, it's been explained a couple different times, and I don't remember who explained it. I'd have to look it up.
But
basically, the way that it's explained between them is, it's kind of like, yes and no. They just kind of do their own thing. It's like an open relationship. Not my kind of thing, but that's my understanding.
Okay, fair enough. Because, like, I couldn't tell whether or not this is just, like, Harley's, because this is totally in line with, like, just her idiolect would be calling her babe.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like,
well, she kisses her on the forehead, which is generally, well, like, that's
still, like, I can see that being within Harley's realm of action.
And that's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's a fair statement with that. But yeah, it's kind of like they have an open relationship.
Okay.
I don't really.
Fair enough.
I think within the context of the story, Jody Houser is telling us that they are definitely involved with one each other on an intimate level. Whether or not that's exclusive to them or not.
Okay, that's really all I wanted to know is if it was romantic or platonic, because, like, they have a house together now, and, like,
It is romantic. I don't know exactly where she's going and what she's trying to explain with their relationship by the end of this, and I'll be interested to see, but yeah, it's a romantic relationship. And that's been stated before with Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy's. They do, but they...
Okay. But it's and not that's like why.
What was
thing.
The one? What was the comic that came out where you learn about? It was the Harley Quinn anniversary one, and that was the best description of their relationship. Which is, when she was dating Joker, Poison Ivy. She was, you know, Poison Ivy made it to where Joker threw her a surprise party.
Yeah.
And you found out at the end of it that's what actually happened, and it's because she cares for her deeply.
Interesting.
So, and not just as a friend, but
okay.
As more than that.
And that totally, because I was like, I just couldn't decide, like, which one it was. I couldn't, if this was just Harley being Harley, or if this was Harlivy being Harlivy. I don't know what their couple name is. When she's like trying to walk back her thing, this is like totally like couples argument. Like, no, I'm sorry, maybe I take it back. Not superheroes, then. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
Nice. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, fun stuff. Fun stuff.
So yeah, I didn't think I was gonna read this, and then I read it, and I was like, damn it.
Oh, I knew I was gonna read this because of the first name on the on the title.
That was the reason that I read it.
Was Jody I didn't Houser. Realize that it was Jodie Houser until after I grabbed until after I read it.
Jodie Houser, she has two versions of Ivy that are my two favorite versions of Ivy. This one and then her Mother Panic AD version, where Ivy is literally just a park.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. All right,
so yeah,
them true facts.
Was it, this is only a 6-issue series as well?
Yeah,
nice. Yep. I'm on board. I'm on board for all of it.
Yeah.
All the cool. Jodie Houser.
Well, I guess with that said, let's move on to another one of my favorite writers. Yay!
Yay!
This is The Riddler, Year of the Villain number 1, written by Mark Russell with art by Scott Goldlewski, which, awesome last name, Scott. and awesome art as well. It's, I love Mark Russell as a writer, and I always feel like he gravitates towards people of a certain artistic style. Scott Goldlewski definitely being one of them. I absolutely loved this issue. I've always been a low-key Riddler fan as well. Once again, along with Poison Ivy, I think he's one of the most underutilized
villains. You have not read New 52 Batman.
That is true, I have not. So you got me on that one, Kat.
Yeah.
This is just awesome. Like, this whole thing is just essentially a conversation between Lex Luthor and the Riddler about who the Riddler is and, like, what his purpose is.
All I have to say is there's literally a magazine called Lair Mag magazine on the table, and that was enough to, I was like, I think this is wonderful.
That's such a Mark Russell thing, too. It was like in the middle of this incredibly tense moment of like self-discovery, there's Lair magazine. Or like King Tut just like vacuuming his carpet with one of those like push vacuums.
Yeah, well,
you know, like
on the phone.
On the phone, talking to Riddler about his new plan to entrap Batman,
which, mind you, was amazing. Two truths.
The first reaction I had to this book was King Tut ever in the comics? I thought that was a character created for the 66 TV series. So I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen a King Tut story. So that was like, I certainly wasn't expecting it in the Riddler book, but you know.
I wasn't either.
Yeah.
On another thing Russell's writing, the Wonder Twins never had a comic, weren't in the comics, no. Were they? Yeah.
No.
And so I guess Mark Russell really likes old school DC TV series.
He's like, comics. You know who I want to see in the comic book series? King Tut. Yeah. And I was like, what?
And the redesign's great, like actually making him look Egyptian. I also didn't realize that Tut's house on like his normal street is a Sphinx.
Yeah. I noticed that right away. I was like, alrighty then. I wonder if Batman knows where you live, dumbass.
Well, that whole thing, because Luthor is essentially like, you're a smart person and you know that. We all know this, but like, what's with the gimmicks? Why does everything need to have a gimmick?
Yeah.
And the Riddler's already sort of questioning this, and then King Tut is on the opposite end. He's just leaning. He's like, my part of the trap will be Egyptian themed, of course. And then, like, and the Riddler's like, yeah, about that. Maybe we don't have a riddle this time. Maybe we just do a plan.
I'm sorry. The note that's sent to Gotham PD.
Oh,
where
yeah.
There's a dirty bomb somewhere in Gotham. Where is it? A. Gotham Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Arkham Asylum. C. Waterfront Warehouse number 203. D. Up your ass, you stupid jerk cop. And Gordon's way of introducing this is, we've already eliminated D.
Yeah, that was like the best part to know.
I never even thought about like the actual joke behind that. Oh, and then also just super interesting too, but like even there's like the deep cut Egyptian mythology for like 2 pages, like where I don't know if y'all know this, but it was like back in the day, like your soul would be, there's like the judgment scales, and your soul would be weighed against a feather. And if you had more sins than the weight of a feather, then you would go to hell. And like, there's a scene in here where Tut puts Batman on a scale against a giant feather.
Also, where'd you get the giant feather? From a giant bird.
So that's the other thing is I like the. I think that my favorite part, my other favorite part to this, I stand behind one of these doors, but behind the other door is a man-eating tiger. So choose carefully. Roar! Damn it!
Yeah. And then Batman just busts and he's like, "You should have had more than two doors." Yeah. Like, yeah, seriously. Like, and they're right next to each other too. So like, and a tiger against Batman. Like, come on.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, he probably has, you know, tiger spray or whatever, right next to the shark repellent.
Hand me the tiger repellent bat spray.
Yeah.
I have to talk about Batman's costume in this, because they did a nice subtle reference to the rebirth suit by having this fantastic yellow border, and it's delicious. So good. Such a good little, like, tweak to the costume.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, I know who's going to be happy.
Oh, I love the art in this book. It reminded me of Dan Mora, which is a high, high compliment I can give.
Mm, nice. Yeah, coming from that, that's high, high praise. I'm super excited to see what they do with the Riddler.
Yeah, me too.
From here. If they don't do anything, I'm going to be a little salty, because this is like a new era.
I want to know where he's going to appear, because I think all of these are just notions of, hey, they're going to drop somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be with Batman or someone else.
Or someone. Maybe he's going to take on Supes himself.
He's not in Legion of Superheroes. I'm not Legion of Superheroes. Excuse me. He's not in Justice League, right? He's not in the...
No. They don't invite him. They always C-list him, which is ironic, since we just watched Hush, too.
Yeah,
because they talked about being a C-lister.
Yeah, I mean, that's how people have always thought of him, and like, that would be awesome if he just like
Scott Snyder didn't.
And at the end, this, he says, "I'm gonna become like, what did he say? And say goodbye to myself if I'm ever gonna become what I always meant to be." So thank you, Lex. Thanks for the gift of nothing.
Yeah, that was really like, it was a really poetic issue too, which I thought was really interesting. That I wasn't expecting that from a little one shot about, you know, Year of the Villain tie-in kind of thing, which you totally do not need to be reading any of the other Year of the Villain stuff to have enjoyed this book. Like, this
no.
Yep.
Lex, obviously involved, so I don't know what book this puts Riddler in. Like, where...
And that's kind of what I'm curious about, is where he's going to appear, or if he's going to appear after all of this.
That could be, like, holding him out and mm-hmm. use him as a big bad for, like, maybe the main Batman book after the events of Year of the Villain.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a minute before it comes in.
Yeah. Freeze, then...
You know what, though? Detective would be a good spot for him after the Freeze arc. Because they are doing a lot of greatest hits of Batman the Animated Series in that book.
Oh,
so.
Really? Yeah. See, and that would be... Freeze is never really an interest to me, but I'm curious to see. After reading Scott Snyder's run with Riddler, I'd be curious to see now that they're trying to change him into something more.
I think it's interesting that people call him a C-list villain, because that was in recent memory. Because mm-hmm. he was, you know, one of the main five in the 66 TV show. He was a featured villain on BTAS and Batman the Animated Series. So, like, it's odd that it was in the time after that where people sort of forgot about the Riddler.
He was also in the last Batman runs too, the war between the Riddler and the Joker.
That was this current run.
Oh, was it this current run?
Yeah, that was during Tom King's run. It was the war of jokes and riddles.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, even he was in one of the films. He was in one of the primary villains of Batman Forever as well. He was played by Jim Carrey. So this was like, this wasn't a character that's,
I wonder if that's where he got the C-lister thing, was because of Jim Carrey, because he made him a giant joke, and it was great.
That was very much the 66 portrayal, you know, it was very, like, super giddy Frank Gorshin.
I feel like people are moving away from, like, the gimmicky types of both heroes and villains, and more into, I mean, like, everybody still loves a good gimmick, but, like, you know, like... Less of like, oh, you're Batman.
The giant death trap stuff.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, riddles on riddles.
The entire thing of Year of the Villain, because Lex finally realizes, I'm not a good guy. That's literally what starts all this, is he realizes, I'm not a good guy.
Yeah.
Why am I acting like one? Why
am I attempting to be the anti-Superman when I should just be the villain?
Yep. And that's basically what sets off everything.
So what happened to him, by the way, I love this name, Apex Lax?
So we could go into that, but we've got about a minute. Yeah. So.
Okay. Can I get, like, the short...
Essentially, he kills himself and gets a dope new body.
Okay, cool. He's part Martian.
No. Yes.
Part Martian. Okay, part Martian, interesting. Yeah. Cool. So
he's an Apex Predator. Yep. One of the original race that was being developed by Perpetua.
Yep.
So, like a white Martian, I assume, since
he's... He absorbed Martian Manhunter.
Yep. Oh, like, he absorbed him? Mm-hmm. We can
do a 10-minute blurb explanation for this, and me and Matt can explain it.
Yeah,
we'll do that after recording. So, I'm sorry.
Read Justice League is what we're saying. Yeah,
basically, we can do a 10-minute explanation for people to listen beforehand.
Yeah, interesting. Alright, cool. Well, thanks for that. Anyway, yep. Riddler.
Alright. Awesome.
Cool.
All right. Well, bye.
Bye.